For Arkansas Public Media, this is a special report. Feeding Baby Hannah, Human Milk Sharing in Arkansas. I'm reporter and host Bobby Ampazon. Over the next half hour, we'll ride along with Jessica Jerkowski and daughter Hannah as they go on a milk run. And we'll visit with other moms and experts as we explore the pros, cons, and culture of sharing breast milk. On a soft, rainy morning earlier this spring, Jessica Jerkowski got herself and her infant daughter, Hannah, ready for a milk run.
Nice to meet you, Jessica.
Me too.
Hannah has grown up on very little infant formula and very little of her own mother's milk.
So, are we just taking off right away, or what do you want to do?
Whatever
just walk through
you want to do. I mean, I'm ready to go.
Okay, usually I just make sure I have everything ready to go. So, depending on how much milk we're getting, I'll get a couple coolers here in the back, and then I have enough milk for Hannah so that when we are on the road, she can have a bottle.
So I'm gonna sit in the passenger side, if that's
okay.
All right.
Yep. So usually she sleeps on our drive. She likes her car ride. She was up a lot last night, so I'm sure she'll sleep. It's pretty crammed with two babies in a car. I'm gonna turn this. Twinkle, twinkle, little star.
How I wonder what you are. In the middle of the 20th century, infant formula had become nutritionally sufficient and commercially affordable enough that wet nursing, that's the practice of feeding a baby from another woman's breast, became an unlikely choice for new moms struggling to breastfeed. In 2011, the U.S. Surgeon General issued a call to action to new moms to breastfeed. The following year, the American Academy of Pediatrics published a white paper that said there's enough evidence to support the superiority of human milk that breastfeeding, quote, should not be considered a lifestyle choice, but rather as a basic health issue. When Jessica got pregnant with her first daughter a few years later, there was no question where her baby's food would come from.
I know we've talked a little bit about it, but would you just talk about having your first child?
Sure. So with my first, I'm a huge planner, and I wanted to make sure that everything was prepared and perfect for her arrival, so I put my heart into planning her birth, which was awesome, and it went perfectly. It was everything I could have dreamed, and not many people get to experience an amazing birth. But then I thought, I didn't put any time into preparing for breastfeeding at all. I didn't research it, I didn't read about it, and the time came and I was just frustrated and shocked that it wasn't working. And within probably 3 weeks, I got some support from some lactation consultants and tried to figure out what was going wrong. And I pumped a lot, I did herbs, I did lactation cookies, I did everything I could possibly imagine. We checked positioning and latch. Both babies had tongue tie, which restricts the movement of their tongue and can influence the latch. So both of them had tongue tie revisions, which is done with a dentist, and they do a laser clip of the tongue. Both of them were pretty severe, and we had it done, and there are some exercises you do afterward, and you're supposed to notice improvement in breastfeeding after that. And it may have been a little bit better, but I didn't notice much change after that. And with my first, it was heartbreaking because I felt like a failure as a mom to not be able to supply her with what she needed. So I became very grateful for the moms that started to donate to us.
Amy Vickers directs the Mother's Milk Bank of North Texas, the leading supplier of human breast milk to hospitals in Arkansas. And she recognizes the sudden stress put on new moms should anything go wrong with breastfeeding.
But unfortunately, over the last 10 to 14 years, as we've supported breastfeeding mothers, then we've also increased this sort of unintentional layer of guilt if a mom is unable to breastfeed for some reason. And so this is what has really sparked this desperation among moms to share milk.
And most of the moms that I've met are so happy and so excited to be able to donate milk. And they're very willing to answer any questions that we have.
I talked with the executive director of the Texas Milk Bank, and she was adamant that milk sharing is not something that they can support because there's lots of pathogens and diseases that you can get from shared breast milk, and their milk is pasteurized. How do you respond to that?
I guess we see the benefit is outweighing the risk in that aspect. It's something that we've thought about, but it's again why we ask detailed questions about someone's health history and did you get to look at the list on the Eats on Feet's list of questions? It asks everything from if they've traveled out of the country or if they've had tattoos, any past positive tests for STDs, anything with infections, hepatitis. And so again, going on good faith in someone to be honest about those things. And I don't think that someone would share if they knew they did have some sort of disease that would be passed.
The most ready community of milk donors Jessica trusts are members of two Facebook groups, Human Milk for Human Babies Arkansas and Eats on Feet's Arkansas. Moms with a supply post there, and very quickly a mom in need responds and arranges to pick it up. But human milk can be a vector, a pathway for bloodborne diseases, and certainly for bacteria and pathogens.
My husband and I have talked about it, and we have decided that it's best to not get any milk that's got medication in it. So we ask questions about any medications or over-the-counter things that are taken.
He's a pharmacist.
Correct. Yeah, he's a pharmacist. So he knows in detail what is passed through the milk and any effect it can have on the baby. And so we know that there are a lot of moms that need to be on medications that we just wait for someone who isn't on any and is just taking a multivitamin or something like that. And I asked a few of the donors in the last few days about how much milk they've donated, and some of them were 4,000 and 5,000 ounces per baby. And that's over a period of usually 8 months to 12 months, which is wonderful. So several of our donors donate to milk banks as well. So they'll send it off to a milk bank. Some of the bags have numbers on them for their donor number.
Each year, the milk bank accepts hundreds of thousands of ounces of donated human milk. It processes it and cycles it back out to hospitals, to their neonatal intensive care patients. Here's Vickers.
We take donated milk from screened donors. They're screened much like other blood or tissue donors are screened. And then the milk is processed and dispensed to a priority of sick and preterm infants. We test the donors, and then the milk is heat treated. So if in between testing, a mom is exposed to HIV and there's virus in her milk, the gentle heat treatment that milk banks do kills those viruses.
Considering the risks and the processes in place to neutralize them, it kind of begs the question, why not skip it and just pick infant formula?
It's pet milk, the first evaporated milk. Pet milk, the first food of millions of babies.
This commercial from the 1950s highlights the 50 million babies and the doctors and the vitamin D that all figure into the winning formula of pet milk.
Pet milk for babies. Good whole milk, concentrated to uniform double richness with pure crystalline vitamin D, the sunshine vitamin.
Other mid-century advertisements for Gerber baby foods and others suggested mothers ditch the bottle as early as 4 to 6 weeks.
Formula is entirely derived from cow's milk or from a bovine source.
That's Dr. Misty Vermani, a pediatrician and neonatology professor at UAMS.
I am one of the faculty leads in becoming a baby-friendly hospital.
Cow's milk is modified for human digestion, but it's not fortified with the properties we now know are present in mother's milk. Mostly immunological properties, Vermani says.
There's extensive modification that must occur in order to come reasonably close to emulating just the nutritional contents and the value of human milk. But there are things that cannot be manufactured, at least not at this point, and put into the formula that would continue to benefit the baby's immune system. So nutrition is clearly important for immune health and function. And while formula does accomplish giving adequate nutrition, it doesn't address any of the other needs of the babies and the particularly the premature infant's immune system.
And just in general, some other people are going to say, I don't know what you're so upset about. There's available formula. It's not super expensive.
And I did some formula. I did some goat milk formula early with my first one. It's not that I was upset about. I was upset that I wasn't able to help my baby in the way that I thought I should have been able to. It was more so on me not being able to help them like I felt like any mom should be able to. So it wasn't about the formula or the donor milk. It was just the emotional side of it, of not being able to do it for me.
The failing.
Yes, yes.
You're listening to Feeding Baby Hannah, Human Milk Sharing in Arkansas, a special report from Arkansas Public Media. Along with social media sites for Human Milk for Human Babies and Eats on Feeds, doulas connect moms seeking milk and moms overproducing it. Doulas are birth coaches and postpartum advisors. Jessica's doula is Holly Parker of North Little Rock.
What do you think, Hannah? Should we go inside and say hi?
Mother and daughter have arrived at Holly and Clayton Parker's bungalow in North Little Rock. Holly Parker is a lactation consultant, a milk donor, and a neonatal nurse.
Hello.
Oh, hi. How are you, Mom?
Good, how are you?
Oh, good. Glad to see you.
You too.
Say hey.
Look how big you are.
I'm going to run out and get the cooler.
Yeah, okay. Perfect. Perfect.
I'll be right back.
It's a rainy day, sister. How are you?
So, Holly, I feel like with everything that you do, being a doula, being a lactation consultant, being a breast milk sharer, that maybe you feel like we should be maybe more open and more communal about it than we are as a culture.
Over my years of helping women with breastfeeding issues and through birthing and postpartum periods, I think that the milk sharing information is kind of more out there. There's a couple of really great groups on Facebook specifically. One is Human Milk for Human Babies, and the other is Eats on Feets. And those are great connections for sharing, you know, for, hey, I've got a few extra ounces, or, hey, I have a whole freezer full, who wants it? There also are some websites that sell milk, which is a whole nother different perspective and a different approach. I've never donated a large amount to any one person, but small amounts to several, so.
Soon, Holly Parker and Jessica Jerkowski are joined by another young mother, Sheena Bowman of Marche.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you? Sheena, this is Jessica.
Hi.
Great to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
You can let me borrow.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks for coming. I'm glad you could make it. This is Hannah.
Hi, Hannah.
And your
you
story.
Can't talk to
us.
You want to come and sit?
Yes, let's sit.
I'm Bobby. I'm the reporter.
Yes.
How old is your baby?
So, my baby is 7 months. Yes. She's getting so big.
Big brothers.
Sheena, have you been a donor or are you a user?
I'm a user.
So,
and I'm
for sure. Yeah. So, with my last baby, we But a bad case of mastitis, and the medication, we didn't catch it right. And so, long story short, I went from producing a lot and more to now an undersupplier, barely having enough to feed my baby, and still wanting to give her that milk. And so I turned to Holly, who then gave me other friends, and then looking at that Human Milk for Human Babies, got several donors from there as well. And it has been very helpful. I mean, she's 7 months, and we're looking at our freezer, and we'll still have the opportunity to give her milk past, like, maybe 9 or 10 months. So we're really excited about that.
Have you ever bought milk?
Yes, I have. I have bought milk. Mm-hmm.
Did you give her money, or did she ask for money and you paid her?
So she was like, I will give you. And I was like, well, I can pay you for it too. I don't want you to ever feel, because she was giving me a substantial amount. And so the first amount she gave, and then the next amount she was like, here, okay, sure. My husband and I talked about it, and this is what, because this is my longtime donor. This is someone who I had contacted, and she was an oversupplier. And she has 2 kids at the same time, and she was working a full-time job. So this is where I felt like it was great compensation. And as someone who is a user, as you said, I feel like we want to contribute some way, somehow. You know, I don't want to, like, take. I want to, like, give back.
I have to press this a little bit more, because you're the first person who I've talked to that said that you pay for milk.
Mm-hmm.
What's the price?
So it was $1 an ounce.
Are you overproducing and want to list your liquid gold for sale?
They call it liquid gold.
Mother's Natural Liquid Gold.
But gold fetches more than $1,000 an ounce, whereas at the best exchange in the country, an ounce of human milk sells for $3. You can find human milk for sale at Craigslist and eBay and other online bazaars. One that's exclusive to Arkansas, the Benton Bryant Swap Shop, a members-only group page on Facebook, drew the attention of the Arkansas Department of Health. Chief Epidemiologist Dr. Dirk Haslow, in an email to another staff member, said the post must be pulled, that, quote, this is not something that can be sold. But it can be sold. It is sold. It goes for $1 or $2 an ounce on Craigslist or a site called onlythebreast.com.
Did you want to go ahead and get it in your trunk?
Yeah.
Or okay.
In a fast food parking lot in Maumelle, 30-year-old Mary Catherine Fortier hands Glenda Nielsen, 27, more than $500 for about 1,500 ounces of Nielsen's breast milk.
3, 4, and then 20, 50.
All right.
It's frozen in little single-serving breast pump bags, all thrown into bigger bags.
And I just gave her 1,500 ounces of milk. So we kind of meet up like every 2 months or so, and we exchange milk. So, yeah.
We meet in a parking lot.
Fortier is fortunate. She has a huge overproducer in Nielsen, one who can meet all of her needs whenever she needs it.
It fills up a small deep freezer, and I can produce that much within, I want to say, 2.5 weeks.
But she charges money for this, a fact that would disqualify her from the Facebook page for Human Milk for Human Babies Arkansas.
I do less than $1. I do like 50 cents or less, just because I know that a lot of people charge $1, $1.50 to $2. And that's expensive for someone to try to, you know, get milk every month or so.
When she originally told me 50 cents, 60 cents, I mean, the last lady I had to pay was over $1, and that was, oh.
In 2015, a team of researchers at The Ohio State University made 102 online purchases of human milk and screened their DNA profiles. In 10 of them, they discovered bovine DNA at levels consistent with an admixture of cow's milk, so 1 in 10. Selling rather than donating milk involves a monetary exchange, which may increase numerous risks, similar to those documented for how paying blood donors increases the likelihood of infectious disease markers in the blood supply. Here's Vickers.
When you have somebody that is motivated by being paid, it might not be the same product that you get, and that is what we saw in the blood industry. It is a different risk pool when you pay people for blood than when blood donors just donate and don't sell their blood.
Vickers says the benefits of human milk are legion.
The decreased risk of heart disease in a population that's breastfed, and, you know, I mean, cancer, on and on, obesity.
It's so strongly believed to be a healthier start in life that some insurance companies will cover it.
They don't pay for formula, but they pay for a breast pump, because they realize in paying for a breast pump for a mom, it saves them money in the long term because, you know, it's a really small percentage of breastfed babies that get an ear infection. It's 70% of formula-fed babies.
Back at the Chick-fil-A, Mary Catherine Fortier and Glenda Nielsen wrap up.
If a police officer dropped by and, you know, I'm sitting here counting money, we're like, does he think that there's a drug deal going down? No, sir, it's a milk deal.
Nielsen says Fortier, or any mother she might deal with, has nothing to worry about with her.
I tell people, like, if I'm going to be giving milk for your child, if it was my child, I would not want someone to do that to me. I'm all about, you know, do unto others as you want them to do to you. I would never hurt a child. So I don't understand how people could do that.
And with that, the two parted ways. Fortier and Nielsen have a pretty ideal partnership. Fortier gets lots of milk from a mom she trusts at a price she's almost eager to pay. Nielsen is happy to find a use for it and help someone out and, sure, make a little money for bills. Nielsen, the supplier, is black, and the customer, Fortier, is white. Neither mother seemed very interested in this distinction, but they do appear to be playing a part in yet another American racial split. You're listening to Feeding Baby Hannah, Human Milk Sharing in Arkansas, a special report from Arkansas Public Media. So the seller community is diverse, but the clientele is overwhelmingly white. That comports with the business experiences of
Nicole Fletcher. I am a certified birth postpartum doula.
And she's the founder and CEO of Birth by Design, a full-service prenatal and neonatal consultancy. Now, Fletcher is also black.
I have not experienced, on a personal or professional level, any African-American women seeking out donors for breast milk. And that's just my experience.
Fletcher has had over 300 clients. She is the reason, in fact, Mary Catherine Fortier found Glenda Nielsen.
African-American women are less likely to breastfeed their babies. I think that's changing, but statistically, we are less likely to breastfeed. And I think it comes from our history.
American mothers of African descent historically were wet nurses to white babies. Fletcher says socioeconomics probably has something to do with the disparity, too. In her own consultancy work, it's a lot of
upper middle class, stay-at-home moms.
Of the more than 300 clients who have come to Birth by Design, only 6 have been black.
I have served 6 African-American women out of the 300.
It's a disparity she intends to change.
When your mindset is this is a luxury and a luxury that I can't afford, then you don't pursue it. But I'm saying it's not a luxury. It's a necessity, especially when there's huge healthcare disparities.
In Arkansas, black infants are about twice as likely to die before their first birthday as white or Hispanic babies. Fletcher is not opposed to bottle feeding babies with infant formula, at least she will facilitate either choice without judgment or shame.
Many women feel shame or feel like they have failed when they need to switch maybe from breastfeeding to formula for whatever the reason may be. There are some women that are like, I just want to formula feed. I don't even want to do that, and think that breastfeeding or milk sharing is disgusting. So there's still that out there and would prefer to formula feed their babies. But then there are others that, like, it feels like a defeat if they have to formula feed their babies.
So is breast truly best? It's the title of a study by a social epidemiologist and health demographer, Cynthia Colin.
The study came out in Social Science and Medicine, which is a very well-known and established journal that looks at a lot of the different social aspects of health. And it came out in 2014.
The study weighed a quarter century of panel data from the National Longitudinal Survey of Youth. And what the researchers found was that while breastfeeding is beneficial, the literature doesn't support that as strongly as has been reported.
There is a big issue in the literature on breastfeeding, which plagues a lot of population health literature, and that's this idea of selection. And that's basically when you look at babies who are breastfed and you compare them to babies who are not breastfed, you're basically comparing apples and oranges. Because we know that breastfeeding is determined by things like mother's level of education or mother's level of income or where the mom lives.
Cynthia Colon and her associates compared siblings in which one was breastfed and the other formula fed. By comparing siblings, they hope to control for parental factors that influence child development.
But when we did the sibling analyses and we compared siblings who are breastfed to those who are not, what we found is that really almost all of those beneficial effects were no longer significant, which suggested to us that not that breastfeeding doesn't make a difference and it's not important or it's not beneficial, but that a lot of the effects we see in the literature could be driven by this selection into breastfeeding, right? The fact that children who get breastfed are much more likely to come from higher income families or have moms with higher levels of education and things like that.
These moms with high income and degrees who most believe in the power of breast milk, they're the ones powerfully disappointed when breastfeeding doesn't happen.
That was definitely one of the reasons why I dug into the literature in the first place, was because I had noticed that there was such a stigma around formula feeding, even for mothers who couldn't breastfeed their children, who were just medically or, you know, they were incapable of doing so. Breast milk and breastfeeding is very beneficial both for mom and baby, and there are a lot of positive outcomes associated with it. But I think in promoting it, it's really done a disservice both to women who are unable to breastfeed and also in terms of just being honest about what we know in terms of the scientific literature about what the effects of breastfeeding are.
Jessica Jerkowski and her daughter Hannah are on the road again, headed back to their West Little Rock home. Although Jessica was unable to breastfeed Hannah, she made it up to her. She got really good at stocking her freezer with human milk gleaned from other new moms, generous and sympathetic.
Holly was the one who introduced me to the idea or possibility of donor milk. And had I not met her, I probably would have just done whatever formula we figured out was best. And it would have been fine. But I'm thankful for her support and guidance and direction in all of it.
In a year or more, mom's skill and that whole community will fade away as solid food replaces human milk.
So typically when I get home, we'll take the cooler out and I'll mark the bags with the dates of the milk we received. And I usually put it in order, so we use the oldest milk first and keep the newer stuff for later.
Bye, Hannah.
You say milk?
Bye.
No.
She was a good sport this morning.
She was the happiest.
She was smiling on her face.
Yeah.
This is Bobby Ampazon, and you've been listening to a special program from Arkansas Public Media. We wish to thank all who participated and contributed to this documentary, including Jessica and Hannah Jerkowski, Holly Parker and her family, Sheena Bowman, Glenda Nielsen, and Mary Catherine Fortier, Dr. Misty Vermani, Amy Vickers, and Cynthia Colon. We want to thank two young moms who also contributed to our reporting, Jerrica Longaville of Fayetteville, and Christy Browning in Gravel Ridge. Thank you to the Damsels in Distress, who supplied the musical soundscape for this program and for their version of Twinkle Twinkle. The natural sound recorded in Jessica Jerkowski's car was Twinkle Twinkle by Jewel. Thanks to J. Bradley Minnick for co-producing the program. A special thanks to Michael Huebner for mastering the program. To find links to supporting documents, see photos of the women and babies, and hear more interviews, visit ArkansasPublicMedia.org. Leave a comment there. Share your thoughts about our story. Arkansas Public Media is supported by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, listeners like you, and the members of our partner stations, KASU in Jonesboro, KUAF in Fayetteville, KTXK in Texarkana, Texas, and KUAR in Little Rock.